In the reclaiming tradition, we have a teaching that we actually got from Victor Anderson from the fairy tradition about the three selves. And that is that we have one self we're all kind of familiar with that we could call talking self. It's the rational self, the adult self, the self that thinks, that uses words, that puts stuff together in verbal language, and, you know, that we use in most of our everyday adult life. Then there's also what we could call our younger self, that kind of older, more emotional child self, the part of us that responds, again, to images and scents and sounds and physical things with or without names, and often better without names. The younger self, you know, is our emotional, sensual, embodied kind of self and being. And the younger self and the talking self ideally kind of work together, are good allies, so that we can function in the world and we can be adult and we can speak rationally, but we can do it from a sense of joy and playfulness and have access to our feelings and our emotions and our delight in the sensory world and our connection to our body. And then finally, there's what we could call the deep self or the high self. That's like the oversoul. That's the part of you that moves from life to life. That's sort of deeper. It goes beyond your particular personality of this life, that you could say is maybe your spirit self, and that some traditions even call your personal God, or the part of you that's like directly has that direct connection, that link that is that aspect of the goddess. And one of the teachings from the fairy tradition is that you access that deep self through your younger self, not through your talking self, which I think is what makes poetry potent. You know, that it's not just about the words that you use, it's about the way those words shape images that move you at a deeper level. William Carlos Williams, the poet, always said, "No ideas, but in things." You know, you don't write a poem that's an abstraction. You know, you don't write a poem that says, "Oh, you know, you are the object that I have cathected, and so I am impelled to make a long-term commitment to try to secure a relationship and defend against potential abandonment and loss." You know, that doesn't work too well, right? What you say is, you know, like, "Your eyes are as blue as the sea." "My heart throbs when I hear the sweet ringing tone of your bell-like voice. I would like to drown in that ocean," you know, and that moves you on a deeper level. So again, magic, that's why we use symbols, it's why we use images, it's why if we're going to do something like cast a spell, which is the conscious creation of a set of symbols and images that we move energy through to realize an intention, you know, we have to craft it, again, around tangible things, around things we can smell and touch and taste, or at least the representations of those things, not around the abstract concepts. Another part of that as well is that if you want to do a spell, if you want to bring something into being, you have to know what you want. You can't just know what you don't want. You can't say, "Okay, goddess Aphrodite, goddess of love, don't send me another terrible, rotten relationship like the one I just got out of." Because the words themselves create images in your mind. George Lakoff, who's this wonderful linguist, political theorist, who talks a lot about framing the issues in purely political sense, but he would be a great magician. You know, he has a book called Don't Think of an Elephant. He says he can't ever find anyone who can not think of an elephant, because as soon as you say the word elephant, you've got that image of the elephant in your mind. So if you want a love spell, you know, if you want to craft an intention around love, you have to do some thinking and work about what kind of love you want. What represents that love? Is it, you know, a beautiful rose garden on a sunny day in June kind of love? Or is it a latte in bed with the New York Times in the middle of winter kind of love? Or is it a sitting with your honey watching the kids play soccer kind of love? You know, or some combination of all of them. And then you might pick an image that represents that. Maybe it's the rose. Maybe it's the soccer ball, whatever it is for you. And then you put your energy into that by visualizing, maybe by chanting, by singing, by dancing, by focusing your time and attention and energy in some way to really sort of put out into the universe that you want to start bringing that attention in. So it's a kind of way of conscious co-creation with the energetic forces of the universe, consciously understanding how to move toward an intention by embodying it in a symbol or an image.